Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a technology presentation from April 2018. Miss Ulrika Alt, independent journalist, presents From Cooling Finishes to UV Protection.
So, hello and welcome to our panel discussion this afternoon. You know that this second day at Performance Days Fair is all about cooling. So maybe you heard a lot today already that cooling works with the right fabrics, with the right construction, with the right yarns. And now we are going very deep into the fiber, talking about how cooling can be improved with additives in our fiber. And we've got four experts who will explain how is it working with their technologies. So give a warm welcome, please, to Vanessa Dellmann from Devon. And, or maybe would you introduce yourself altogether? That would be great. Okay. Yeah.
Hi. Hi, I'm Vanessa from Devon, and we are a Belgian-located company in providing functionalities for textiles for over 40 years. We're located in Belgium, but we also have offices in Portugal, in the UK, and in the US, and we work through a worldwide network to provide technical functionalities for textiles over the world.
Thank you so much. So, Gregory.
I'm Dr. Greg Haquist, founder and inventor of 37.5 Technologies. We're located in Boulder, Colorado, but we have offices around the world and we have worldwide partners. Our technology is incorporated into the yarn or onto the membrane, and it provides humidity management along with moisture management.
I'm Eric. Is it working? Yeah. I'm Eric Hargast, Chief Sales Officer of HiQ Materials. We are a Swiss company founded in 2005. We are located near Zurich and are available worldwide. We are developing, engineering and producing chemicals for the effects, so not only about cooling, many different effects. And we also support the brands up to the point of sales in terms of marketing to capture the added value of the applied effects.
Thank you.
And I'm Bill Diani, Director of Research and Development with Burlington Industries. And we're a worldwide supplier of textile materials, textile fabrics. And we see ourselves as an innovative technology provider, utilizing a whole host of various technologies. We've got manufacturing that is located in the United States, Mexico, and also in Asia.
Thank you so much. So, first part will be that I will have some questions, we'll discuss some questions, and later on it would be great if the audience has some additional questions, please feel free to ask us. But I hope we'll find some answers already. So, Greg, if you start with your technology.
Sure.
As I first heard about Cocona, first it was, why did you change the name?
We were trying to direct that having a name that represented the benefit rather than something that was directed towards natural and coconuts. And so 37.5 is really about the humidity level next to your skin where you maximize your performance and your core temperature of 37.5 degrees Celsius, which is your optimum athletic performance internal core temperature. And so we were trying to play on that to bring direction that our technology, what it's doing is it's interacting with the body, allowing the body to thermoregulate, because the body is the best thermoregulator, and it triggers off a humidity. It captures the energy from the body, and then it uses that energy either to warm or cool based on the humidity next to skin.
And Is it still based on coconut charcoal, or are there different?
We use coconut shell activated carbon and also a volcanic sand. The volcanic sand has to have specific physical properties. It has to like water, but not too much. It has to have a lot of pore size or surface area, and it has to be able to absorb infrared light in the 8 to 14 microns, so it's able to capture that energy. And then it uses that energy to move that humidity out of the system.
And In that case, is it UV protective also?
Yeah, the volcanic sand and the activated carbon both absorb in the UV down at, it goes from 410 nanometers down into the 250 nanometer region. And so we do all UVA, B, and C. So if you add it, yes. But realize that UV protection, really construction of the fabric plays a huge role. Okay. You can't have a high porosity fabric, mm-hmm. A very loose knit, and expect to have a high UPF.
And my last question for this round is, so is this additive brought into the fiber or on the fabric, and is it permanent?
It's permanent. It's actually incorporated directly into the fiber, so it lasts. We have shirts that have lasted 8 years. Bill knows the original ones. And the product still works and functions all over that 8 years. We actually kept some shirts and kept them in the plastic bag, and then we tested them 8 years later compared to shirts that we wore for over 8 years. Washed over well over 300 times, and it still had the same functionality. And that functionality is that movement of the humidity out of the system.
Thank you so much. So, Vanessa, you're actually launching a new technology, I think?
Yes. Well, we're launching a new technology calling Move and Cool, and we were giving some workshops. Some of you have maybe experienced the workshop where we went into detail on how this technology works. It's actually a topical treatment, and it's a new patent-pending polymer technology. So Devon developed the patent, well, the polymer that actually is applied on top of the fabric. So how does it work? It actually absorbs the heat, and it also helps in moisture management. So this means that it absorbs the heat, and it also absorbs the sweat, and it evaporates the sweat more faster, going from the body to the environment, and that gives you a cool temperature feel, and it gives you a comfort feel. What we also did, we tried to show that the technology really works through a scientific collaboration with the University of Leuven and the Bacala Academy, where we did a lot of testing in high humidity and high temperature chambers, and we could show that there's an effect on body core temperature up to 0.4 degrees. So there's really effect on the body core temperature, and that also gives you a better performance during the workout.
And why is it brought on the fabric and not into the fiber?
Well, there are different technologies and there are different possibilities to put functionalities on textiles. We also have a part with Endeavon where we put functionalities in the fiber, which is called AutoSpin. But for this technology, we chose that we could apply up onto the fabric. Also, that gives us an opportunity to work with different kinds of fabric. So even with blends, it gives us also an opportunity just to put on a blend the treatment on there and give the performance that we would like to have.
And need this be to be refreshed, or is it permanent?
It's a permanent solution. We already did tests up to 50 washes, and it still performs. So it's really wash durable as well.
Okay. And so maybe for me, I think not for the audience, but for me, could you explain what a polymer is?
Well, a polymer...
I'm sorry.
Well, a polymer is, you could see, it's like a small coating. It's a small kind of layer that comes onto the fabric and gives you an additional feature on the fabric. So it's actually attached onto the fabric. It's a very small, thin layer, and it gives you the benefits of moisture management. So it evaporates the sweat faster from the body, and it gives you the heat absorption as well.
Mm-hmm. How can do it this both give it these both reactions?
Well, it's a special polymer technology.
Okay.
Well, it's our own technology. Yeah. So it absorbs heat. We can measure the heat absorption as well, so we can really show that it absorbs the heat and that it stores the heat as well. So we can show that as well.
Okay. And does it offer a UV protection benefit also?
No. It does a lot of things, but not UV protection.
Yeah. That sounds very interesting. So, of course, Eric had a question to your company. So where is your benefit? In the fiber, on the fabric, or everywhere?
So our SmartTemp technology is also a finishing treatment that is applied during the textile processing at the finishing stage. So it is a liquid product that is applied onto the fiber. And it's true, the advantage is that you can treat any kind of fiber, be it synthetic, natural fiber, or blends. also with Elastane. So it gives flexibility in the processing and the design. And the effect of the smart temp technology, this is some, the main effect is also to accelerate the sweat evaporation to create a cooling effect. Because when you evaporate water, this consumes energy. This energy is taken around the fiber, so near to the skin, and it reduces the skin temperature. It is a dynamic effect. It happens only when we start sweating. Additionally, we are now launching also this week a new release, a new technology, because the heat evaporation and sweat evaporation is available since about 10 years. We are now successful. We can speak about the brands later. But now we integrated also a PCM functionality that is absorbing the heat even before the first drop of sweat. So the PCM part is less performing than the water evaporation in terms of refreshing. Water evaporation is long-lasting, can last as long as the effort, so hours or days. But at the first moments, the first half an hour, the heat absorption by the melting polymer is extremely important. And this is an effect that we also integrated in our technology to get a kick of freshness to the skin since the beginning, as soon as we start heating. So it's a dynamic effect.
That sounds interesting. So you combine these two technologies to improve the cooling effect. Could there be any danger that the athlete becomes too cold?
No, and this is a big advantage of this technology. It is activated only when the body is overheating. Mm-hmm. And that's why we speak about activated cooling or dynamic cooling, because it is the body temperature that is triggering the effect or not. So when we feel comfortable and cool, there is no cooling effect, so there it is neutral. Mm-hmm. When we are in the range of 28 to 30 degrees Celsius, the heat absorption starts. And typically, between 29 and 30 degrees Celsius, this is when the body starts to sweat, when the first drops of sweat appear on the skin. And then the evaporation action is activated. And this technology, it's an hydrofunctional polymer that will change his structure from amorphous to more crystalline during the temperature increase. And this is how the water is conveyed more faster across the fiber, and then the evaporation is accelerated. And this is also mimicking the cooling system of the body. This is how we, by sweating, this is how we cool down our temperature. And it was said in a previous discussion here, the textile is, of course, like a barrier to this cooling technology, to cooling effect. And we try to complement it and to reproduce it on the fabric.
Mm-hmm. So, Bill, now I'm very curious. You are using different technologies, so lots of. What is the most effective for cooling? If you think an athlete, I know that you're combining technologies. You call it MCS. So maybe you first want to explain to the audience what is behind MCS.
Yep, I'll be glad to. Our MCS technology stands for Moisture Control System. We've been providing moisture control or moisture control aspects within fabrics for probably over 30 years. And those of you that recall the company called Intera back in the late 80s or mid 80s that incorporated hydrophilic properties in nylons, Burlington R&D had partnered with a company like that to commercialize the hydrophilic properties in nylons. So we have like over a 30 plus year history of collaborating with various companies and various partners like these that are here to my left, your right, and utilizing some of their technologies. And we look at various technologies from a yarn standpoint, like the 37.5 or a Coolmax or those type of various types of yarn technologies. We're also able to incorporate the various chemical additives that can be incorporated into the fabrics as well. And from a standpoint of performance, depending on what the product's going to be used for, whether it's for performance outerwear or workwear, depending on the situation, we could have a thermal regulating type of hydrofunctional polymer that is incorporated into it. We can have a yarn technology that's incorporated into that fabric and offering that level of performance and permanence as well. So we work with a host of various technologies, and we also evaluate those technologies. And from a cooling standpoint, it's kind of revolutionary, and those of you that have been in the different presentations, you've gotten a lot of great information. From an MCS standpoint, we're looking at the technology really kind of threefold because we're a fabric manufacturer. The first phase that we're all familiar with is the absorbency, the spreading of moisture, like our puddle over here. We know that as we spread the moisture, it evaporates more quickly. So you have to have that component of it. But now cooling technologies are looking at, from a humidity standpoint, or even prior to the sweat, being able to thermal regulate or move that moisture in a much quicker fashion. And everybody realizes today that, or a lot of people are realizing today, that it's that phase change. Going from the liquid to the vapor and the evaporation that's taking place is really where that heat energy is expanded upon and diminished from the body, and allowing either that elite athlete or that weekend warrior to perform at a higher level for a longer period of time. And then the third aspect that we're looking at, which I know people have talked about here at the symposiums or the show, are the construction, you know, like air perm or MVT and those factors. So we're really looking at all three aspects and engineering those into the fabrics. And we love collaborating with our partners and technology providers that are out there.
Thank you so much. good answer. So Vanessa, you told us before that you did a lot of research. Are there any figures you can tell us about the degree of cooling or the amount of sweat that is evaporating, or so that we have an imagination?
Well, we did. We did a lot of testing in collaboration with the university, and we really wanted to push the garment or the textile to the limit. As was mentioned, when you go into a sweating state, let's say, when you're doing exercise, what actually happens when you do an exercise, your body core temperature goes up and you start to feel warm, and at a certain moment you start to sweat. And that how, well, the sweat rate depends on individual factors but also on environmental factors. But it's also important that the environment temperature is also very important. If it's a cool environment, you can actually perform much longer at a certain rate or in a certain way at a certain endurance, because the body is allowed to give away the heat to the environment. When the temperature rises, then it becomes more difficult for the body to give the warmth away to the environment. So then the sweating comes in. So what did we discover? We tested with different test persons, males and females, and what we saw is that we have an effect when people wore our treated shirts. We saw an effect on heart rate. So we saw that the heart rate went down. So that gives the opportunity for people to perform longer in a more comfortable way. We also saw that lactate levels went down. So that meant also that people can perform in a more easy and good way and end up their performance longer. So doing their performance longer. What we also saw is that there's really an effect on body core temperature. So as was mentioned by the Hoogenstein Institute, if you have an impact or an effect of 0.05 degrees on body core temperature, you really have a significant effect. We measured a body core temperature difference treated versus untreated of 0.4 degrees. So this means that it's really cooling you down and enhance while giving you less sweat to evaporate, so giving you a much more comfort feeling. So we think that we would like to give different levels of application serving different kinds of sports activities, but also serving the professional athlete to push just to that next level that he would like to go, but also the recreational athlete, because he is not maybe performing as long or doing a marathon or doing something else, but giving him that that cool comfort feeling during the workout that gives him a nice feel when he's doing his workout is also for us really important to give as a message that we can do something. So we aim at different sports activities, but we also aim at different people doing sports and having that same comfort feeling. So we have all the data available. We still need to continue to do, well, the scientific research. But we today have data available that it really does something and that it really helps you in your performance.
Thank you so much. So interesting. So Greg, what about your company? What types of research did you do?
You know, my journey started back in 2000, and when I came into the industry, wicking was what was considered the way to test fabrics. And along the way, I invented AATCC 200 and AATCC 201, which is really about drying rate of fabrics. But then I realized it was the core temperature that mattered, and so we've been partnering with Munich University and also the University of Colorado at Boulder, and they did a study that was looking at core temperature of athletes, and what they found was you change your shirt with, and all you did, you had the same exact construction, you had a wicking shirt versus a 37.5 shirt, extended their performance by 26%, and that was because the core temperature wasn't rising as fast, because you were able to dissipate heat at a faster rate. And so the question that we were looking at was trying to understand what is happening, right? Because if I looked at these fabrics, I looked at the drying rate, was the drying rate really an important factor? And what it turns out is actually evaporation on fabric isn't as important as evaporation on skin. Evaporation on skin is such a larger amount of heat loss, it dwarfs anything that happens on evaporation on the fabric. And the problem with evaporation on the fabric is you're going to have to transfer that cooling from the body to the fabric to get that extra step. And so that's a conduction step, and depends on how well your fabric is contacting the body, determines how well that happens. Whereas if you're able to dry out the environment, create a really dry environment next to the skin, you can maximize cooling, and that's what 37.5 does. The added benefit is everything I'm wearing today is 37.5. I'm not sweating liquid. It's because I'm probably never going to sweat liquid today, and that's because I'm not going to put out a lot of energy. So our technology works just in the casual everyday wear, and allows me to stay comfortable because it's monitoring that humidity level. Oh, is the humidity high or is the humidity low? Oh, the humidity's low, you must be cold. Let me return some of that energy to you to warm you up. Oh, the humidity's high, that must mean that you're hot. Let me use that energy now to move that humidity out of the system. And so if I can keep that humidity at 37.5 right next to the skin, I'm going to maximize my cooling potential, get like 800 watts of cooling. Whereas if I try to cool on a fabric, say like using Watson test from Hohenstein, you know, you're going to see that it's like around 25 to 50 watts. You know, which one would you rather have, 25, 50, or would you rather have 800 watts? And so that's our approach. We really are trying to tackle that problem, and we wouldn't have been able to do that without the university partnerships that we had that helped us get along this journey, because that when it started, all the way back with Bill, it was all about wicking. And it was all, you know, hey, how far do you wick in 30 minutes? You know, and that's what everybody asks. Oh, I'm 15 centimeters. So
so actually, I think it sounds a little bit as your fabrics and your additives seems to be intelligent. So how can they know if they have to give back humidity or store or what to do with it?
that's the secret of the material. It wants to equilibrate at 37.5% relative humidity. Mm-hmm. And so that equilibration factor based in the physical property of the material is really what causes the effect to occur. And so that balancing point is critical. If I choose another material that maybe equilibrates at 70% relative humidity, that's not going to work. It's going to wait until it's too late to try to solve the problem. Because if once you get up to 70, your cooling potential goes down to around 200 watts rather than 800 watts.
Mm-hmm. And Eric, did you do some researches concerning the cooling potential and where the humidity is evaporating?
Yes, of course, a lot. Mm-hmm. Again, this is also a technology that is used and studied since more than 10 years. It's true that the basic testings are not able to reflect the cooling efficiency of a technology. So that's why we also developed own testing methods that are reflecting also the dynamic aspect of the cooling effect. because as it has been said, it's important not to overcool when we are already fresh, to monitor the humidity. You're asking about the intelligence of these treatments, be it a fiber or a finishing treatment. This is a built-in capacity of the element. So in our case, a finishing, a topical treatment, due to the structure of the molecule. So of the polymer, which is this structure is simply reacting to the environment one way or the other, and it is calibrated to react the right way. So to, in our case, to give away some energy again through this phase change material properties when we feel too cold, and to absorb this energy when we feel too warm, and then starting evaporating the water, the sweat, as soon as it does appear. And we did many studies with different universities and together with brands, so with North Carolina University, with Daikin University in Australia, with European universities in Switzerland and France, wearers test, also testing with athletes that with measurements either in controlled environment, on biking, for instance. And we also found out that proper thermal regulation can increase the performance. Biking athletes can develop 1.5% watts more, so 1.5% energy more when they wear a treated shirt or treated combination, simply because instead of using the energy to cool down the body, they are using it for their performance, and it lasts again longer. Much has been said already about the mechanisms in terms of humidity next to the skin, and it's very important to monitor this and to remove it when it is appearing.
Okay.
So that's also what our technology is doing. Mm.
Sounds so interesting. And Bill, your company has a lot of knowledge about all these themes as wicking, cooling, moisture transport, and so on. So do you give your experience back to the fiber and additives and the ingredient brands to talk about what can be better, what can they improve? Or
yeah, we certainly do that from a collaborative standpoint. And I think from a research standpoint, we're in an advantageous position because we have the opportunity to review the research that our colleagues have done, whether it's, for example, at the University of Colorado or NC State. A lot of these fine institutions are doing mannequin testing and various tests, even with actual users. And then in addition to that, one of the things that we're doing, and it's amazing how this whole cooling aspect of the technology has evolved, where you're looking at maybe some of their research from the standpoint of being able to cool from an initial standpoint, you know, let's say a humidity or the body temperature is elevating. But I think too, the components from the standpoint of moving the moisture, we probably have four or five tests that we're evaluating those type of properties. Then in addition to that, there's another four or five tests that we're looking at from an evaporative standpoint, because you really have to have the evaporation off of the skin, and then depending on the exertion level or the heat level, that amount of perspiration can be moving at such a fast rate that you want to move it quickly from the skin so that evaporation is taking place from the skin, but then also the evaporation is taking place with that fabric or that textile. And so we're looking at those various methods to evaluate that. And that's what we bring to, let's say, the brands that are out mm-hmm. there with the opportunity to share the various technologies that we've adopted and that work that we're doing with them.
That sounds interesting. And you also are the one who creates the right construction of the fabric also to
yeah.
have the benefit of 360% round.
That's right. Yeah. In other words, if you look at, let's say, the next aspect of it and some of the test methods, for example, that are looking at the evaporation rate, maybe with airflow, we are able to look at, let's say, that textile and the construction of the textile from the standpoint of how quickly will it evaporate or what is that breathability of that fabric. And we've done some very interesting work, let's say, for example, in the uniform market where a herringbone weave that we were utilizing had a significantly higher airflow than, let's say, a traditional plane mm-hmm. weave product
okay.
that was being used. So we're able to quantify those things and then incorporate the various technologies as well.
So thank you so much. I have to say, for me, as I'm working as a journalist for over 20 years, I learned a lot more, actually, with your information. Thank you so much. So, and there's the question to the audience. Do you have any questions left you want to ask to one or the other of our speaker here in the discussion? No, you maybe, all of you know more than me, because for me it was fantastic. Yeah, please. May I hand over the microphone? Oh, okay.
It sounds a little like magic when a little bit of powder added into polyamide or so has such a tremendous effect. Tough to believe.
That's why we do a lot of testing, right? And that's why we look at the core temperature of the athlete, and that's why, you know, that experiment took over 8 months to perform. We did it on the University of Colorado did it on a large number of athletes, and that's why it was published in a peer-reviewed journal. I agree with you. It does sound like magic, but when you really understand the physics behind it, you're using a desiccant is really what you're using, and a desiccant attracts moisture, and it pulls it away, and it pulls it away in the vapor stage. The difficulty is if the desiccant saturates, then it no longer is going to be effective. And so you need this push-pull methodology, or trap and release is one of the taglines that Bill will probably go back to. But it's a trapping and releasing. In the release part, you need energy. And where you're getting the energy from is the infrared light from your body. You know, and when people start to think about, greenhouse effect on our planet. Ooh, I don't understand that. But the sunlight comes down, the Earth absorbs it, it emits the IR, and then the CO2 captures it. And so this is a similar type of capture system, whereas the light, instead of the sun, it's your body. And instead of the CO2, now it's the volcanic sand. And what we're doing is we're changing that climate next to skin by moving humidity and drying out that humidity. And then that allows the body to have a higher evaporation rate or a net evaporation rate, and that allows for more cooling. That's what it comes back. The net effect of, you can see that, measure core temperature. You know, that's what you want to do.
I think we can help you. If you look at, I'll give you two analogies to help explain this. If I have this cup of water here and it's full of water, and we come back tomorrow, this cup of water is going to be pretty full. I mean, it's going to still have most of the water that's in it. If I take this cup of water and I spread it across this floor that's like over here, which is already disappearing, it's going to be gone. So that's illustrating right there, let's say, the moving of the moisture. And if I take an ice cube and put it in my hand, and all of a sudden you feel the coldness because the heat is transferring in this second analogy, from that ice cube to your hand.
Well, hand to the ice cube.
The hand to the ice cube.
Yeah.
The phase is changing from the solid to the liquid. And we also know that if it goes from a liquid to a gas, the heat energy is absorbed. So if we can help from the standpoint of the textile and the performance for that athlete to cool from the standpoint of that phase change, because we know that it's actually absorbing some of the heat energy to go from the liquid to the vapor, then we're going to have enhanced performance, the cooling effect, and really that individual should be able to focus for a longer period of time. And all the test methods that we're all talking about and that we're looking at are helping us to take it to another level to actually quantify that.
Can I add something? I think you need to look at it from maybe a different angle. If you do the performance, if you would do it naked, it might be the best option, because then your body really gets the opportunity to regulate itself. Once you put the textile in, it actually blocks the evaporation or the thermoregulation. So what we are trying to do, and is it now due to construction or having a topical treatment, is to have the effect as little as possible, or reduce all the effect that we put in by the clothing, reduce it little by little to optimize where we could be. And yeah, it's not a magical effect, it's a combination of things, and we try to be as effective as possible, and all little things can help to get a better sports performance or a better sports achievement. And you need to see it by blocking the blocking the body as regulate or as a thermoregulation object. So if you try to reduce the impact of the textile as much as possible.
I think you did not get my question.
Okay.
The mechanism, all fine. My doubts are at the level how a few grams distributed in polyamide can have such a dramatic effect. Because it's like a little bit of PCM works fine theoretically, but practically, because of the small amount, it will be short-lived.
Really good question.
And that's why I'm still puzzled how a couple of percents of a powder can change so massively the properties of polyamide. Polyamide also has a moisture equilibrium and will regulate to a certain effect. How can that regulation become so much more powerful than without your added charcoal or whatever?
Right, that's a really good question, and I think I was trying to get at it. PCM, you have a certain mass, maybe a gram or 3 grams in your fabric. Once that goes through its phase change, it's over. And so the amount of wattage that you get from that, maybe we can argue that, but it will probably 10 to 20 watts we'll throw at. The technology that I'm talking about, 37.5, it's not a one-time effect. It's a catalytic effect, is the way I like to look at. And a catalytic effect means it's a surface that causes something to happen. And so the physics are attraction and then excitation. Attraction, excitation. Attraction, excitation. So it's doing it over and over again. And so that 1 gram or whatever, how many grams I have on here, the way we certify fabrics, we require 10,000 particles per skin pore. 4 million skin pores on your body, so you can do the math on that one. So we have a lot of particles. Though it's a small amount, we do have a large amount of material per skin pore that's trying to dry out the environment. If it was a one-way reaction where it went and it consumed and it held on, like nylon, nylon's holding on to that water, it's over. Then there's no longer an effect. Like cotton, what I always like to say, Cotton's Hotel California, the water molecules check in, but they never check out. What we do is we create a checkout mechanism for the water. Well, where are you getting the energy from? Well, I'm getting the energy from the body, the radiation from the body. We're using that energy to excite water molecules to keep it going out. So you're right. If it just goes, it will stop. But we keep going because it keeps self-refreshing. Now, you take the shirt off, you hang it up, it doesn't work.
Eric, from your perspective?
Yes, so the question is mostly directed to 37.5 because it's about particles. But the topic of the amount of product on the fabric can be also more general, and be it now particles or finishing products applied onto the surface. And it's important not to look at only, and you were right, the PCMs can absorb a limited amount of energy. And once the phase change has happened over the whole quantity, it's over. And that's why most of the new technologies are focusing on the water evaporation. And we create a layer around the fiber that is, it's a coating that is absolutely not affecting the fiber properties or affecting the breathability of the textile. So all these previous layers of structure and conception are not affected. But this very thin layer that is modifying the surface of the fiber is allowing to these properties that we described up to now. And speaking about the core temperature, so 0.4, 0.degrees, the skin temperature outside can be refreshed by 1.5 to up to 2.5 or above degrees Celsius. So, and this makes a huge difference in terms of comfort, even with a very low amount of product used by fabric weight, let's say. So that's very important.
So they convinced me and you.
That's what I was wondering. I'm wondering the same thing. Yeah.
Any more questions from your side?
Thank you for the presentation. I've got a question about the graphene coating. This is like the new cooling thing. Means a coating with highly conductive material and stuff like that. I've been personally testing this thing. I have no business with graphene, but anyway, what are your thoughts about that technology?
Maybe you want to answer to this question. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, graphene's something we looked at, and it uses a conduction mechanism is what it's doing. We're trying to change conductivity between the skin and the air. The issue you face is conductivity is air temperature dependent. If it's really cold out, you're going to get a lot of cooling. If it's hot out, you ain't going to get much cooling. And the way I like to look at that is if you go into, say, a sauna or into a jacuzzi, right, you don't get much cooling from conductivity. So if you wore a graphene shirt and you were in a sauna, you ain't cooling down. You're actually warming up faster. So conductivity is air temperature dependent. I don't think that's the best way to attack the problem of cooling. Really, evaporation rates on the skin is probably the best way to attack the problem. In order to do that, you need to deal with humidity. You need something that's going to move the humidity out, create a more Arizona for United States people instead of a Florida situation.
Thank you. That's the same. I heard from Dr. Behringer from Hohenstein that with these temperatures we have here, especially in summer, especially during high activity sports, the most effective way is the evaporation, so that we have to look at these features.
Yeah, the conductivity is acting really about 25 up to 27, 28 degrees Celsius and not above. So it's an quite efficient process at very low temperatures, but at the temperatures we are speaking about in the daily activities, it is very quickly inefficient. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Good for you.
What about as used in cycling, where we have wind cooling going up to 40, 50 K per hour combined with the graphene?
So here it's a combination of two effects. The airflow is extremely important and has a big impact on the evaporation rate. So when we use the cooling, so the evaporation technology, this makes a big difference, and it's an advantage to move and to have this strong airflow. Now, the relative humidity of the air and the external temperature are not affected by this. It is a sensation. Due to this, we always speak in the weather forecast about sensation temperature and real temperature. But it remains that the air temperature, if it is at 30 degrees, it will remain at 30 degrees Celsius, and the conductivity is not really affected by the airflow. So we speak about eliminating the heat via infrared transmission. And if the external temperature is higher than your skin temperature or equal, there will be no noticeable effect. So it can, now, and even no chill-out effect. Eventually, at high temperatures, it can be a technology used to avoid the chill-out effect because, as you mentioned, the heat will be rather transferred from the outside to the inside.
So I think as we don't have so much time left, maybe there's one last question from the audience. No, so everybody learned a lot about additives, cooling, evaporation, as me. Thank you so much. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. And thank you for your attention. I hope you enjoyed the fair because there's not much time left. Maybe we'll see your last appointments. And if you're interested in, you can find all our speakers at their booth after this presentation also. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.com. Copyright April 2018 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.